Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Reading from Romans chapter 3. Once again, here we have a portion of God's Word that Jonathan Edwards mentioned in the Great Awakening, used more by God than any other portion in that awakening, and how we need to pray that we again will have an awakening to the truths that are stated here in knowledge and in experience. Listen, as Paul speaks to us through this Word, but above all, God speaking to us. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where's boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Let's come to God in prayer, asking Him to give us this way here of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we come to Thee in the name of Him who is given a name above every name, the name of Jesus, because He shall save His people from their sins. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with Thee, taking on Him the form of a man, humbling Himself to the death of the cross. And wherefore, Father, Thou hast given Him that name, which is above every name. Help us to know it. Help us to bow before Thee and before Him. Help us to know, Father, our sin, and that we have no place before Thee by right, except we can have it through another, through Christ Jesus, Thy Son. And we pray that Thou would teach us that. We give thanks for the times that nations and the church has been taught that through the years and the ages, sometimes the church having to be brought back to it, as it was in the time of Reformation, the time of the Great Awakening. We pray that we might have such times again, Thy Spirit working, opening hearts to receive Thy Word, men crying out to Thee, as on the day of Pentecost, what must we do? Being taught as little children, and those gladly receiving the Word were baptized. We pray, Father, that that may take place again, and as the days following after that day of Pentecost, that many were added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Father, today we see them leaving the church, especially the young people. We pray for them. We pray that Thou would call them with Thy call, through Thy Word and by Thy Spirit, all because of Christ. We pray also, Father, for the secondary needs that are there, for the temporal needs of the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray, Father, especially for the children in the broken homes. We pray that Thou will teach the church once again to teach what Thy Word tells us concerning marriage, that what Thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder. We pray, Father, for the sick, the injured, that there might be healing, either directly by Thy Word or by means that Thou dost give and can give healing through. We pray also for those who will be left in their illness through life, that they may have the grace to live in those circumstances and to bear under them, and especially to learn the brevity of life, certainty of death, the need to prepare for it through Christ. We pray, Father, for the needs in the schools and the workplace. We pray especially for our government, that they may once again have the fear of Thee, which is the beginning of wisdom, and that our government may know truth and follow in the truth and be set free by the truth, that we might know the truth together instead of the divisions that lies have brought, all through Christ. Amen. Looking at these words once again, we know that we must see them in repentance, as it is there in verse 19 and 20. Before we can see rightly the words in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Though these words were written by Paul, they are there from Christ. Christ described Paul as His witness, and he would be that, and he is that here. Has been that to a number of churches, here, writing to the church at Rome, and to us as well. The Lord Jesus Himself said He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And He only calls us when we know that we are sinners. Calls when we do not know it, but He calls us especially to the gospel when we do know that we are sinners. When we do know, as we read here. Verse 20 again. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Though Christ has told those that came to Him and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life or to have treasure in heaven? He would tell them the law, but none ever did it. No one. As we can read earlier in this chapter, there is none righteous, no, not one. I think sometimes we acknowledge that we can't be right by the law, but we still think that the law can make up a part of our righteousness. And there are churches that teach other than justification by faith alone. We are alone made just by what Christ did, not at all by what we do. Yes, we can make ourselves guilty and sin, but we never get out of that sin by anything that we do in ourselves. And though there are a great difference in deeds, and some of them might be called good, yet we have to acknowledge that there is none righteous by the deeds of the law. And why? Because I think we compare ourselves with others, and we think we do better than others, we are right. If we have a right church, we are right. No, if we have a right church, we will know we begin wrong. That's the teaching of the true church. That was the teaching of Paul. He said he had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God when he visited the church at Ephesus for the last time, recorded in Acts chapter 20. And he gave the summary of that message of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way that each one of us must enter the kingdom of God. And we do not earn our way by repentance. We might say we lose our way in our false thinking. Repentance brings us down. Repentance doesn't bring us back to God. Repentance brings us instead to Christ, making us know our great, great, great need of Him. Making us know, as Paul described when he wrote to the Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It must be great, because we're great sinners. And repentance brings us to know that. Listen again to the description of great sinners. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Such great sinners, if we say anything, we add to sin. The best we can do is acknowledge sin. And that doesn't bring us right before God to acknowledge we're wrong. It makes us ready to know our need of Christ. And that's the way of true conversion. That was the way when Edwards did preach on these words here and declared, as his one sermon was described, sinners in the hands of an angry God. That will not change until we have what we read in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law, without our doing, is manifested, a righteousness totally outside of our relationship to God and the law. Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. No difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, as I stated earlier, I believe we think too much of sin as what we do in comparison with others. But sin isn't just against the written law. Sin is against the holy God himself. Sin is coming short of the glory of God. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he stated in his first letter, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do we think of that every time we eat, every time we drink, that it must be to the glory of God? I'm afraid most of the time it is thinking of the lust of the flesh. I like this, or I don't like this, or I want more of this, or I don't want that. Selfish. Thinking of self, what I want. Paul says, do all those things to the glory of God. That's in line with how Christ taught us to pray, stating to our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Where? in many places, we hope and pray, but not without it coming in our own life. We must have it ourselves when we eat, when we drink, when we think, when we talk, when we work, in all. We can only give glory to God when we love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. That's why when we don't do that, we come short of the glory of God. It's not do this or do that, and especially when we much too often do it in the sight of men. What will they think? Or, I want to do it because somebody is here. We do it more in line with people than with God. And if that is true, then we don't give glory to God. God's word tells us, trusting in the arm of flesh can only bring us to a curse. Cursed is he that trusteth in the arm of flesh to do it to please men. We come short of the glory of God by not thinking of God in all things. Eating, drinking, driving, anywhere, all the time. We need him. We need to live by faith in everything. Yes, we must be saved by faith in Christ, in his life, death, the shedding of his blood, his resurrection, all of that. But we must live by faith, and because we haven't lived by faith is why we need him to die for our unbelief, as well as our disobedience and our neglect as well of doing right things. We sin both ways. We do wrong things. But when there's right things to do, we come short. We don't do it. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves. All of that is coming short of the glory of God. We must have that high standard. We must know his way, of which he said, his ways are higher than our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts than ours. How much do we think of that? The psalmist says, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. And I am very much afraid that I began my life that way, thinking that God thought as I did. I thought, I'm a good person and a good church. That's sufficient. I wasn't. Not at all. I was a bad person. And I wasn't told it enough in my church. Too often we think, if we are in what is called a Christian home, we are Christians. Even, as I mentioned, the Great Awakening, in which brought sinners to tremble before God, to cry out to God to be saved, little children as well as older ones. There are people who say that that was harmful. That did harm to children in Christian homes, whereby it was thought that all of them were God's children only waiting confirmation. That's Judaism. That's not Christianity. As I said earlier, Christ came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you've never been lost, don't have any hope that he came to save you. He came not to call the righteous. He came to seek and to save that which was lost apart from God, coming short of the glory of God. And we need that. We need that so much. We're living in a time of formalism, and I'm afraid beyond that even. We no longer even have formalism. We sometimes read of beyond modernism. We are where there's open persecution against that which is right. Sometimes the church is called too much bigots. We can be that, but we don't have to be that. Paul was not a bigot. Paul was very, very truthful. Paul gave us the truth as God gave it to him. He learned it of himself, saying, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said how the law was used in his life to bring him to a knowledge of his sin. Romans 7, I had not known sin, except the law I said, thou shalt not covet. I've repeated that many times, but do you know it in your life? Do you know that coveting is idolatry? That's what Paul writes to some of the churches. covetousness, which is idolatry. Whatever we covet after is an idol, that which we are not to have before God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, is his statement, spoken from heaven, spoken on Mount Sinai, written on the tables of stone. God telling us that he is God alone. And thankfully, he is that kind of a God who says, beside me there is no other God. And he, that God, tells us, listen, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. That's by the pen of Isaiah. God speaking there, using Isaiah's pen, along with many other things. Many things of the gospel, telling us that by his Son, the Lord Jesus, by his stripes, we can be healed. Jesus was as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. No complaint from Christ. Israel had many complaints. They were described as murmuring. Murmuring over food. We loathe this light manna. They didn't want to eat to give God glory, which they should have and could have if their thinking was right. But because they murmured, God punished. And God can punish us too if we murmur, if we're dissatisfied, instead of giving God glory and thanks in all things. He does all things well, all things good. We can say it both ways. God is good, and good is God, and only that. And of us, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We may do things that seem to be good, but they're not in line with God. They're in line with other people. We must think about God, his holy law, and that must become, as Paul said to the Galatians, a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Paul speaks very plainly to the Galatians, as well as he does here to the church at Rome. First of all, he warns the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, stating, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Paul must have brought that message so plain of Christ's crucifixion that he could say now, Christ crucified among you. If that is described, Christ on the cross, nailed to that cross, bleeding, suffering, dying, our imagination will make us see it, make us see what happened there. Those before time could see it in the offerings of the lambs. We can see it as the Scripture describes it to us. And Paul described it to the Galatians and said, evidently, Christ was crucified among you. And then he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit and now made perfect in the flesh, trusting in their own works, trusting in sometimes their religious laws. One of them was circumcision. And he had to say to them later, if you are circumcised, Christ profits you nothing, if they trusted in being that. We can do the same today if we trust wrongly in baptism, a sign, a picture of it, of what should happen inwardly, us dying with Christ, rising to newness of life. What Paul describes a little bit later here in Romans chapter 6, buried with Christ and rising to newness of life. But we can't trust in are doing that to make us righteous. It is actually a picture of our trusting in Christ, our hopelessness in self, dying. I'm done. Paul said, and I died after the law had convicted him. Paul goes on to use an example of Abraham having the gospel preached to him in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There's a wonderful, wonderful word of the gospel there. The word of Christ, Abraham's seed, and not only to Abraham's fleshly seed, but all the families of the earth would be blessed through Christ. And to Abraham, that gospel was then preached long, long before Christ came. Then Paul again shows, third chapter of Galatians, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Even when we think of eating to the glory of God, God gave it all. It all comes from the earth, what we eat, what we drink, all from God. But do we know just as well that unless God blesses it, we can't live? That we need His blessing on the food, and in that way, live by faith? Live by faith that what God gave us will be sufficient, as Christ taught us, give us this day our daily bread, but we need as much health, and we need especially to learn. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Everyone, all of them. Here Paul says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to them. All things. Love God with all your heart, all the time, all your strength. Anything less is sin. It's not to the glory of God. We must come to know it. By the teaching of God's law, we will know it. Verse 19 again of Romans 3. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Paul was speaking that to the church at Rome some number of years after Christ had ascended. Sometimes we speak of New Testament church. In Ephesus, he says, we have become fellow heirs with the saints of the past. We are really one with Abraham. And that's what Paul tells the Galatians. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? So there's really not the separation. We are one with Abraham. We are one with Abel. If we live by faith, if we are saved by faith alone in another. And I think of the words again. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb, knowing your sin? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Christ said before He died, without me you can do nothing. That means we have to fully trust in Him for everything, all things, for we won't do them right. We won't do them to the glory of God. We'll do them in sin. And the worst sin we can ever have is pride, not knowing that without Christ we can do nothing. Nothing right to the glory of God. All come short of God's glory. All of us together. Every nation. Are we better than they? Paul says when he refers some to others. In no wise we have before proved Jews and Gentiles. They are all under sin. And we're all guilty in sin until. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Has that been manifested to you? The law being a schoolmaster, and then Christ revealed, Christ given by God to the lost sinner. Has that taken place in your life?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise